Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. And as you're finding Colossians 3, verse 18, I want you to think on this for a moment. Name one thing you have that if you give it away, you seem to have more of it. We're going to read Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 18. We're going to read through chapter 4, verse 6. Paul writes to the wives first, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." An executive headhunter, one who goes out and hires corporate executives for other firms, described his hiring process this way. He said, "When I get an executive I'm trying to hire for someone, I like to disarm him. I offer him a drink, take off my coat, undo my tie, throw my feet up on the desk, and talk about baseball, football, basketball, family, whatever, until he's all relaxed. Then when I think I've got him relaxed, I lean forward and I ask him, 'What's your purpose in life?'" He said, "It's amazing how many of these top executives don't know what to say." He related what happened one time. He asked one fellow the same question, and the man responded without blinking, without stopping to think it over. And he said, "My purpose in life is to go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can." What is the purpose of your life? If someone were to come up to you as the headhunter does and ask you, "What is the purpose of your life?" what would you say? We continue this morning looking at what God says about loving one another. Last week we looked at Micah 6, understanding that the Lord is concerned about your relationship with Him and also other people. Remember what He said, "Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with the Lord." This week we look at it in this section. Paul is talking to us about the new self in Christ. The new self in Christ. And we look this morning at the practice of giving away your life. What is the purpose of your life? Let's look. Fulfill your purpose in life by doing your part in relationships with others. Please the Lord through your relationships with others. Paul said that your commitment to Christ affects every area of life. He talks about wives and husbands. He talks about children and parents. He talks about employers and employees. Is there any other relationship other than family or work? You say, "Well, what about church?" Yeah, and he talks about that too. He's talking about every area of life. So he begins with husbands and wives, the most intimate of relationships. Husbands are to love their wives and never be overbearing, never take out on their frustrations from them on work. And wives are to see that they love and respect their husbands. It says, be subject to your husbands. And in our world today, we that completely makes us bristle up. I'm not going to be subject to him. I'm not going to be subject. And that's not at all what Paul is saying here. What needs to happen is that every one of us has a role. And every one of us needs to fulfill that role. And that's what Paul is dealing with. Wives are to willingly submit themselves, place themselves under their husband's leadership. And husbands are to love their wives. Never be harsh with them. No matter what kind of day you had at work, or for some of you out on the golf course, or wherever it is that you go, never take out your frustrations that you've dealt with for the day out on your wife. Then he moves out in terms of relationships and speaks to children. He says, please the Lord by obeying your parents in everything. Kids, how are we doing with that? Parents, then he talks about that. Fathers particularly should never discourage, should never exasperate or provoke their children by nagging them. Paul then moves on to these work relationships. Slaves and employees are to obey. And we are to work not to attract superficial attention, but conscientiously out of pure motives. And understand, too, that what Paul was talking about was probably the idea of a Hebrew slave. It was not at all what we understand as slavery that we perpetrated in this country. Because you basically sold yourself to an owner because you got in debt, you got into a situation where you had to have somebody bail you out. And in Deuteronomy 15, he talks about it that if you want to stay with your master, that they would put take an awl and pierce your ear. And that way you knew that that person had willingly stayed with even after the debt was paid back. And in all of this, he says, do not let the freedom given in Christ and the servitude that you're to show change in any way. A Christian slave was first slave to Christ, and he is to work as to please him. And then earthly masters are to please the Lord in how he deals with the workers. So do your part in relationship to others. Think of your life as a mesh of chains. You're linked to a spouse, possibly. You're linked to children or parents. You're linked to brothers and sisters in Christ. You may still be linked to an employer. You're linked in all these ways. And remember what the saying is about the strength of a chain? A chain is as only strong as its weakest link. Do not be that weakest link. Because if that mesh of chains breaks in some way, then it's going to be at least unbalanced, if not completely fall apart. So please the Lord by doing your part in relationship with others. This morning, are you giving your life away? How strong of a spouse, how strong of a wife or husband are you? Husbands, does your wife know you love her? Do you tell her? Do you show her? Do you live out your care and service for her well-being? Are you giving her anything to follow? Wives, does your husband know you love him by how you relate to him, by how you talk to him, by how you talk to others about him? Think for a moment about your relationship with parents or children. If you still expect them to support you, are you obedient to them? If you're a parent, are you communicating to your children about how you feel about them? I came up with a phrase that I've used with my children. And I realized that I probably don't say I love you enough, but I've always said to them, I'm pleased with you and I'm proud of you. You say, well, I have trouble communicating. I have trouble, you know, saying my feelings that way. Write them a letter. You know, one of those old-fashioned things that we used to do in this country, in this world, write them a letter. It'll mean more to them than you realize. Write them a letter. Another way parents can exasperate children is by hovering over them. They may never say it, but they'll not learn how to handle what life throws at them if you as a parent hover over them, be a helicopter parent to shield them. Friday morning I was driving and I heard Dennis Rainey on the broadcast of Family Life say, if you are a parent, you are set up to be an enabler. Don't be an enabler. He says, let them hit rock bottom if you have to. If you're still working, what about your job? How are things there? How are the relationships there? Are you a good employee, or are you one that people look at and say, man, if I could just find somebody else? How do you think, if you rated your work on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think God would rate your work? Most of the time, we take the paths of least resistance. There's two ways to look at your job. One is do enough to keep it, or do all you can. So which do you? What about school? Let me tell you, if you're in fourth grade or fifth grade or eighth grade or 12th grade or whatever, school is your job. You're working to and investing in yourself for later on. Do all you can. Are you fulfilling your purpose in life? Fulfill your purpose in life, Paul says, through greater communication with God. Devote yourselves to prayer. Not let prayer be a last resort. Devote yourself to prayer. Be steadfast and faithful in it. Be watchful, in tune with others. Pay attention to others, to what they talk about, and then pray for them. Seek the Lord on their behalf. Pray for them. Then he says, specifically as you intercede for others, pray for opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Pray for God's kingdom to come. Always thankful for what God has done and what God is doing. And he wants you to be determined in prayer. Now, if you were to use a word to describe your prayer life, would it be the word determined? Fulfill your purpose in life through communication with Christ. The other day I was talking with a young lady. She was holding a cell phone. And I asked her if she had ever heard of the Dick Tracy comic strip. Who has heard of the Dick Tracy comic strip? Yeah, we just admitted that we're old. Remember in the strip, and this is probably before my day when before I was really reading comics very, very much, he came out with a watch telephone. Remember that? And everybody said, no way, there's no way that that's ever going to happen. Guess what? We have more ways to communicate today than ever before. Ever before. We can text, we can email, but I don't really like those as much because you can't, I would rather talk to them somebody on the phone at least, because at least you can hear emotion in the voice. But even face to face is better than that, because you know sometimes body language tells you a whole lot. We have all these ways to communicate. So if you have a choice in communicating with somebody, you also have a choice in communicating with Christ. Maximize your communication with God. Are you giving your life away? E. Stanley Jones said, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God in cooperation with that will. He said, if I throw out a boat hook from a boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Now, are you pulling yourself to God? Think about your prayer life for a moment. What is the extent of it? You're telling God what you need Him to do? We have kind of in our world today this mentality of give me, give me, give me. And I think sometimes that transfers over into our spiritual life. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me this. What is the scope of your prayers? You can think of your prayer life in terms of concentric circles. What's going on in your world, in your life? What's going on in your family's life? What's going on in your friend's life? What's going on in your church? What's going on in your community? Do you ever get past family? And notice too the what Paul said about an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Notice he didn't say, pray that someone would come to church. He says, pray that doors will be open that I can tell them about Christ. We are to pray, we are to pray, we are to pray. If you pray a minute a day, I challenge you to pray a minute and a half. If you pray 5 minutes a day, I challenge you to pray six. If you pray 10 minutes a day, I challenge you to pray 12. If you pray 15 minutes a day, I challenge you to pray 18. Pray a little more. Be devoted to prayer. Are you fulfilling your purpose in life? Fulfill your purpose, Paul said, then through your pattern of living. It has been said, no one should listen to a man talk about his philosophy of life until you know exactly how he treats his wife, his children, his neighbors, his friends, his subordinates, and his enemies. Paul said, conduct yourself with wisdom. Conduct yourself with wisdom. This has to do with knowing God's will and living worthy of the Lord. Live in such a way that God's name is not dishonored. Now, I never said this to my kids, even though I understand it. You've heard it said. Maybe someone said it to you. Don't remember who you are. Remember whose you are. And we are to live in our pattern of living in such a way that God's name is honored. Do not be a stumbling block to anyone else. Don't be a stumbling block by what you do, by where you go. Don't be a stumbling block to anyone in any way. Followers of Christ are recipients of God's grace, and grace should be evident then in how we live and how we talk. You can be critical, or you can be gracious. Which is more inviting? A seminary professor gave his preaching class the assignment one day to preach the next week on the Good Samaritan. And the professor had it all set up. They were to assemble in one room, but then they would have to go from one building to the next. And each one of them had to walk by a person, a homeless person, what used to be known as a bum. That person was obviously in need of help. The results were surprising, at least to the students. Few stopped. And the tighter the schedule, the fewer stopped. Rushing to preach about the Good Samaritan, they had walked past the beggar at the very heart of the story. I was hungry and you formed a humanities club to discuss my hunger. Thanks a lot. I was imprisoned and you crept off quietly to your chapel to pray for my release. Nice. I was naked, and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. What good did that do? I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. But I needed you. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the shelter of the love of God. I wish you'd taken me home. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray. Why didn't you stay? You seem so holy, so close to God, but I'm still very hungry, lonely, cold, and still in pain. Does it matter to you? Are you giving your life away? What is your speech like? Is Monday speech consistent with Sunday speech? Is your pattern of living Christ-like? How often is the charge of hypocrites in the church too accurate? Well, the one thing you have that if you give it away, you seem to have more of it is love, life. The more you love, the more you get. The more life you give away, the more you get. And God is challenging you to love others by giving away your life. Will you? Every month we have been trying to emphasize a different mission opportunity. Some of those opportunities you and your checkbook need to take care of. But some of those opportunities, like the community lunch, like next month's Good News Club's children's, we don't necessarily always need your checkbook. Sometimes we need you more than the check. Will you give your life away? God is challenging you to love others by giving away your life. Maybe you need to commit yourself to developing the relationship with a new neighbor, new classmates. Or it may be that you need to do your part in the relationships you already are in. Or maybe it's that relationship with Christ that's suffering. What are you doing to grow in Christ? Maybe what the problem is you never communicate with Him. And let me tell you, if you want to say, well, I'm waiting for God to speak to me as if He's going to write it in the sky, I think we've all been waiting for that. What He's going to do is He's going to take His word. If you'll get in His word, He's going to point out a passage of Scripture, a verse, and say, you hear that, big boy? Or big girl, I guess. Or maybe you're one of the hypocrites that keep people away from Christ. Are you consistent in your living? Are you giving away your life?